Joshua chapter number 6. We dealt a little bit with this story a few weeks ago, talking about how that Moses, even though Moses messed up and didn't get to enter into the promised land at that moment, that in the book of Hebrews 11, he is credited with the victory at Jericho. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 11, you will not find Joshua credited with this victory. In Joshua chapter number 6, you'll find Moses' name associated with it. I thank God for that. But this story does show Joshua doing something big. And I wanted to get to this today and share with you what the Lord's given me for the hour today. So you listen very closely. And we'll run through this. I want you to look at verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 6. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege of being in church today. God, I thank you for all those that have come out to be a part of the service. I thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that we've enjoyed, and I thank you for those that have given their testimonies today. Thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to help us in the moments to come. God, give us a good time around the Word of God, and if there be anybody here today that don't know you, I pray, oh God, that you'd send convicting power of the Holy Ghost and save their lost souls. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. It's time to rescue Rahab. It's time to rescue Rahab. You know, I put a lot of, when I was an evangelist and a missionary, there were times that I traveled to places and had the privilege to preach to thousands of people. I mean, thousands of people. But then there were times, I remember probably the strangest night that I ever had. Me and Mason drove 130 miles to preach to three people in a very cold church building, Lutheran church building. We drove 130 miles and got there that night, and there was a mom and her son there, and then there was a very old lady that had a key to the church building, and she unlocked the, she came through with her walker through the snow, walking in the snow with a walker from her house. Unlocked the building. This is in northern Montana. Unlocked the building. We went in there, and I was driving home that night back to my father-in-law's house, and I thought, you know, I just drove, I drove 260 miles, 260 miles altogether for these three people. What am I doing? And the Spirit of God gave me great peace that night and told me I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And I come here today, and there's all of the whole church, you know, every pew's got somebody on it. And I look at you, and I think, you know, there's somebody out there that needs you to rescue them. Somebody out there. They're waiting on you to be the one to come and get them. And I see this here in this story here. We see in verse 1 the hopeless situation, talking about how that Israel had surrounded Jericho. And the people of Jericho were fixing to die. And let's just be honest. The people of Jericho were going to die. And where are they going to go when they die? Just be honest with me. Where are they going? They're going straight to hell. And Rahab and her family is right there in the middle of that. I mean, Rahab's a harlot. If anybody, now listen, God help me. If anybody deserved to go to hell, you'd say it'd be Rahab, wouldn't you? A harlot, a woman of the night. We don't use the word harlot much anymore. The younger ones may know the word prostitute. Sold her body to men and the soldiers that passed through. And there came a time where two men came to her door. And she just assumed that they were there for a transaction of some sort. But they weren't there for that at all. And you know what they were there for. They were there as spies, and she rescued them. She helped them out. Now that was her particular way of God getting her foot in the door, so to speak. And everybody's got a story to tell. Everybody's got that God puts you in somehow, and you had a choice to make. And they gave Rahab a choice. They said, if you will tie this line in the window, your house will be saved. You will be saved. Now she didn't get saved right then. She had something she had to do in order to get saved. And I thank God we live in the age of grace. And the very moment that the Spirit of God convicts your heart, you have the opportunity to get saved right then. And in this particular story, had Rahab not followed the instructions she was given, she and her family would have died and went to hell like everybody else in town. But I'm here to report to you today that you don't have to die and go to hell like everybody else in Jericho. Now it's time to rescue Rahab, the hopeless situation in verse number 2. Then we see the helpful Savior in verses 2 through 5. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now this is what I call the helpful Savior. There is an opportunity here for the problem to be dealt with. And we're living in a very hopeless society, and you think that there are some out there that are lost that'll never get saved. Well, that person, he'll never get saved. That lady, well, she'll never get saved. You get that in your mind that because of the society we're in, that person will never get saved. Now, I'm going to ask you this. This is just me talking here, but I want you to get a hold of this. There's other ways to blow up a city. This is the most unique thing that I've heard of in a long time. Just walking around, walls fall, go down and get them. I mean, there are other ways to do it. I mean, they could have. I mean, at the end of the story, you find out that they burnt the whole city to the ground. Well, why didn't they just do that to start with? They ain't but one reason in your whole Bible that they didn't take their pyrotechnology and surround that place. They could have. The Israelites could do anything they want to do. God could have done anything he wanted to do with them. They could have burnt that city down to the ground without ever marching 1 day or 2 days or all 7 days, and the 13 laps they made around that city, they did not have to do that. God could have burnt the thing to the ground. Hey, in the book of Revelation, we know that God's going to burn a whole outfit without any help at all. God could have burnt the city to the ground without any help. But what would have happened to Rahab? What would have happened to Rahab and her family? I get to look and I pray that God will break the barriers of sin in this world and the walls and the chains that are binding people. And I pray that, and that's what it's going to take. There's some of you here today and you're bound in the chain of sin, or you're bound in the chain of pride, or you're bound in a chain of emotional doing good, whatever it is, you're bound in that chain, or you know somebody that is. And it don't matter what you think about that, don't matter anything about, God has spared you and he's given you an opportunity to be saved, and he's given that person that you know an opportunity to get born again. We need to seize that opportunity. All right, the helpful Savior. Then we see the humble servant. Look at verses 6 and 7. The humble servant. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord, the humble servant. It's interesting how these orders from Joshua were given directly to these Levites, these priests. I mean, direct orders. Isn't this the Joshua that in Joshua chapter number 1 had an argument with God over his inability to do anything? In chapter 1 of Joshua, you find where Joshua has to be told by God 3 times to be strong and courageous because Joshua is fearful that he's unable to do it. But didn't the same thing happen to Moses 40 years ago? Afraid he couldn't do it? God had to encourage him and strengthen him. I'm here today to tell you there's a humble, and I'll be honest with you, as a humble servant here today, and those of you that want to give the gospel out, you and your humble servitude, we can be honest with one another and say, we're not able. I can tell you right now, if you knew how unable I am, it'd blow your mind. Completely unable. No ability to tear down anybody's walls. I got no ability. None. I called a preacher friend that I know in New England a while back, and I said, brother, I got somebody in my church that needs to get saved. I said, I'm trying. And that's what he told me. He said, well, you can't do anything but just give them the word. That's what he told me. Give them the word. So that's what we do. We give the word here. We're not interested in compelling you with any other source or with any other artillery. We're just going to give the word and watch God do the rest. And in that particular moment, all that Joshua could do in his inability was to look at those priests and to give them the word. Amen. And he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. All right, so that's a little bit of an introduction there for you. I want to read verses 8 through 25, and then give you a few things after we read it. So I want you to follow along in your Bible, starting in verse number 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, and the priests going on, and the blowing with the trumpets. So meaning to say that after the ark, the rest of the crowd, all the way to the very back, followed the ark. That's what they're saying here. Verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Now, why is it now so important that there was a time that they didn't shout? Well, because if you shout all the time, you won't get nothing done. There are times in my life where I'll just be honest with you, I'd just rather just, you know, get me some good music and some good preaching and just shout till the Lord comes, but you won't get anything done that way. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to get to the shouting here in a minute. There's plenty of that to do. But right here in this moment, it wasn't time for that. And every now and then, you know, when somebody watches you shout, that may make them want to shout. I love it. But right here in this moment, they had work to do. Okay? Now look at verse number 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. So verse 13 tells us that they did exactly what God told them to do. I mean, the description is almost identical. They did exactly what they were told to do. Now guess what? As a result of that, here in a minute they get to shout. Don't think for a minute that if you don't want to walk, you're going to get to shout.
That's right.
Some of you want to know why you can't shout. Well, maybe you need to do a little bit more walking. Then you might do some shouting. All right, verse number 14. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So did they 6 days. How would you like that? Well, I mean, we're talking about a violent situation. A situation that could turn into all-out war and would turn into all-out war, and all they're doing is walking. And you get to places in your life, and you're in the third or fourth day of this thing, and you think, why in the world can I not get any victory? Why in the world can I not see these walls get torn down? Why am I standing on the outside waiting on somebody to shoot me from the inside? Why? And they just kept walking. And I'm here to tell you today that Rahab ain't rescued yet. But just tell me now. What if they'd got rebellious after the third or fourth day? What if some of the men, now God forbid that we ever try to attack the man of God, but what if some of those men had got together and went to Joshua and said, Joshua, maybe you've been out here in this Arab sun a little too long. And maybe what you thought God said wasn't exactly what he said, because this is not good battle tactics. So we need to reconfigure our situation and rethink our plan. Do you hear any of that in there? They just walked and walked and walked. All right, so let's keep going here. Verse number 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. So once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now wait a minute, did the Lord give them the city? Right then, did they have the city already? How many times can we find it in our Bible where men praise the Lord before they ever get what they're praising the Lord for? Shout because the Lord has given you the city. And I mean, if they were like us, we'd be scratching our heads saying, no, we hadn't. We're wore out. How in the world do you expect us to shout when we've been walking around here in the heat? Seven laps today, Joshua. Not just one a day for 6 days, but seven laps today. It's about like the people say, you mean to tell me you expect me to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? And then we have a revival. How in the world are you going to shout and see Rahab get saved if you don't get up on your feet and start walking? Amen. All right. That was for free. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time the priest blew with the trumpet, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. By the way, if the Bible agrees with itself, and it does, it's never God's will for you to be worldly to reach somebody in the world. Never. Never, never, no, never. That's what that means right there. Well, we're going in after them, and we might as well enjoy a little bit of it while we're there. No, 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 no. Don't touch it. All right? Verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron that they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, I want to wrap this up. Listen very carefully. By the way, when you get to time to build the temple, and you get to where it's time to build all these expensive things that they had, how do you think they collected all that silver and all that material? They got it from winning these wars and these battles. God would allow them to go in and take a certain part of that spoil and put it into the treasury of God. So here they have their plan, and they're fulfilling what God has told them to do. They're following the instructions that God has given them. The first thing I want you to notice is their consistent walk. Their consistent walk. Now, you may not be a shouter. You may not be a very emotional person, and that's fine. But everybody in this room can have a consistent walk. Everybody. Where you get up, you walk around. Go back to what you're doing. Get up, walk around, go back to what you're doing.
So in your life, God has given you instructions and order and things on how what you're going to have to do with your life. You need to just get up and go do it. Get up and go do it. It's just that simple, a consistent walk where God calls you and leads you to do something. Not only do we see the consistent walk, but then we see the conquering shout. That conquering shout only came after the consistent walk. And some of you here today, you may be completely and totally defeated. I understand. I understand what it's like to fight the devil. I understand what it's like to fight the flesh. I understand what it's like to fight the world. And you just feel like you don't have an amen in your whole body. You just feel like there's not a shout in there anywhere. And I totally understand that. But there is a, and it may not come on day one, and it didn't for them. It didn't come till day number six and on lap number seven. I mean, after going and going and going and going, and they didn't know when it was going to happen. They didn't know how it was going to happen. But something very special is plugged in here. Joshua commanded them to shout because they had the victory. Not because they could see it. So what does that make it? Good. Makes it faith. I'm telling you what, if I didn't have to preach, I'd be shouting myself right now. Because I'm going to tell you that right now. You may not see the walls coming down yet. But you walked, and 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 you walked. And you walked, and you walked, and you're still walking, and then God says, it's time. And you got that confidence in your soul. That what if they said, well, Joshua, we don't, the walls are still there, man. There's no, we have no business shouting victory right now because the walls are still there. But Joshua said, no, this is what the Lord said. Might as well just go ahead and shout and watch the walls come down. And that's exactly what they did. So you've been a consistent walk. You've just been walking, 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 walking. And you got a wall that needs to come down. You might as well just say, well, praise the Lord. Might never done anything like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Some of y'all just need to just, I got two more points here. And I got chicken to put on the grill just like you do. But somebody in here might just need to just go ahead and shout, trust in the Lord. Somebody might need to do that. I'm not funny. You've walked and you've walked and you've walked. You might just need to say, praise the Lord, he's going to do it. Anybody? Anybody?
Amen.
Anybody need to stand up and say, God's going to do it? I just want to thank him for doing it. Anybody need to? I know this is unusual, but who are we on the old devil? I'll stand here today before you and say, praise God, I know he's going to do it. Amen. Amen, Martha. Anybody else? Just, hey. You just been a walking. He's going to stand and say, praise God. I know he's going to do it. Just go ahead. Amen. Amen. Amen, Sadie. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Get you a little bit of victory today and just tell the devil to shut up. Amen, Pete. Amen, Pete. Amen. Anybody else? Just want to shout on credit. Wall hadn't come down yet. But Joshua said, go ahead and shout. Wall may come down today. It may come down next week. We don't know. Anybody? I ain't going to keep this going too long. I've got... Amen. Amen. God's going to do it. Amen. Praise God. Ain't that good? Amen. That's right. You bet. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That's right. He can. Anybody else? Amen. Amen, Dean. Amen. Amen. Just trust him. Amen, Cap. Amen. Amen, Pappy. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. This by faith. Know that he's going to do it. The consistent walk and the conquering shout. Then I want you to see the courageous warfare here. After it was all said and done, the walls came down, and then they had a lot of work to do. They went in and they fought the devil left and right and whooped that whole town. Let me tell you something. If you're going to make progress in your life and God gives you the benefit of tearing a wall down, you better not let that slide. You better jump on that with all the energy and the strength that God has given you. You better, and that's what they did. The walls came down and they went in and they destroyed everything. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. And I'll encourage you today that when God starts chipping at those walls in your life and He brings victory and then He brings peace in your life, you better do exactly what He says to do or you'll run into the next wall. Now lastly, I want you to see the conversion of Rahab. Now it's interesting to me how that a lot went into that. Okay. Now you can say Rahab got saved at any point in time through here that you want to say. But we all know that the New Testament word Jesus in the Old Testament is Joshua. So we know that Joshua is a picture of the Savior. We know that. But it's interesting to me how in your King James Bible, it says in verse number 25, and Joshua saved Rahab. I'm good with that, ain't you? I'm good with that, ain't you? Now, wait a minute. The walls had come down. People were getting their heads chopped off. And Joshua saved Rahab, the heart of the live, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She did what the word told her to do. And you know the story. I mean, she's in her house. She's got her people in there. And it's faith. Now, don't let anybody tell you that in the Old Testament they got saved in any other way. Her faith in what the word told her. It's what got her rescued when Joshua came in. The Bible says right here that Joshua saved her. So she's in that house and she's waiting. And day number one comes and she knows that she's in trouble. Oh, glory to God. She knows that she's in a heap of trouble of her own making. And they've marched around the town one time. Day number two, she wakes up. She knows she's in trouble of her own making. And they marched around the town again. Three, four, five, six, day number seven, she's there, and it's breakfast time, and the coffee cup's rattling on the table as these thousands and thousands of soldiers are marching around that wall, and I don't know, but I hope if I were in that situation, I'd be able to pick up my coffee and take a sip of it, not even worry about it. But that day was different. They went around the first time, and then the second time, all the way around seven times, and I don't know if the people in her house were scared, or I bet they were. I bet they was nervous because they had heard what these people could do. They were very aware of what the nation of Israel was capable of pulling off. They knew that God was on their side. They knew that there was something bad fixing to happen. And everybody gathered around in that house, I don't know. But here's what I'm going to tell you. The judgment of God comes through on this nation or in this world. You just need to get your family. You need to drink some from that sweet fountain that God has given you to drink from and eat of the wonderful manna He has provided, and just keep singing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And every piece of wall around them fell except for the one where they were on. And Joshua sent his messengers in to rescue her. And I don't know where you're at today. I know it's been a little different. I don't know where you're at today. But God has got a wall in your life that can come down and that will come down. You've just got to trust Him.